How many here have either suffered themselves or know somebody directly who has suffered identity theft? I'm glad to see it's actually not more than that. So it's a handful, maybe a dozen of us or so. We have a niece on Vivian's side that has suffered identity theft. One of my sisters has also gone through that. One of the things that we learned with identity theft as a result of having these close family members go through this is that there were steps that we needed to take that we hadn't taken to protect ourselves from identity theft. Do you realize that many of us are identity thieves? Where is this going to go? The identity that we're trying to steal back, the identity that we're trying to steal back is our own identity. It's the old identity that we gave up when we came to Christ. Okay, there is an old us and there is a new us. The old us was the pre-Christian us, but there is a new identity that is established in Christ. And as I thought about, you know, my own life, I had to admit this, that I struggle with, you may struggle with, we struggle with almost wanting to steal back those parts of us that were pre-Christian instead of just embracing the new identity that God provides for us. Or for those of you, because all of us became a Christian at some point. If you would say you were in Christ, no matter what your age, you have become a Christian at some point, so you have a pre-you, a pre-Christ you. But even if you figure, okay, well, that was when I was really young and I can't really remember that, we're still tempted to do what's really, really like that, to imitate those that are without Christ in their lives. So as I thought about during the summertime of what would I want to do for a fall series, it's going to be a topical series. It's not going to be out of any one book, but mostly in the epistles of the New Testament is where we're going to be. And so the series, as has already been hinted to, is just going to be called My Identity in Christ. And I decided that we would not call it Our Identity in Christ. We could do that because there's something that we'll talk about where there is a corporate component to this called the body of Christ. So there is that connectedness, even as we'll celebrate part of that during communion. But I decided that if we're going to go through this and through these truths, there has to be a very personal decision. Because if we're going to get over the old stuff, if you're like me, it's the really deep-rooted, decades-old things from the old life, from the pre-Christian life. Those are the things that are the hardest to uproot and get rid of. So it's called My Identity in Christ because I want this to be something that each of us says, that each of us decides that we're going to embrace. Let's say that I had an old identity card, okay? I'm holding up an old identity card. I actually have one in my memory box. So I have an old identity card of me during my Penn State days. Not going to mention their blowout win yesterday. We're not going there at all. And yes, I realized that when I was a student at Penn State in the 1970s, some of you were not even born yet. That was something that I had to wrestle with. But let's say I had my old student identity card and I travel up to State College. And I go to State College and I try to get in on something that really only current students can get in on. And so I come up with my old identity card and I try to get in. I show it at the event at the door. And they say, this card is no longer valid. And I go, but why? And they say, because you're not a student anymore, and plus you're really old. Trying to use an outdated identity card would be foolish, right? If any of you had one where you worked before, if you had something that was now expired, you would know that it would be foolish. But many of us try to do that as believers, me included. So we're not non-believers anymore, and yet we still act and go back to those things that identified us as non-believers. And so that's what we're going to do when we tackle this series. We're going to say, okay, first, according to Scripture, this is who you and I were. And then after looking at that, I don't know how long we're going to spend on each one yet, but first looking according to Scripture, here's what you and I were, and then looking at, okay, then according to Scripture, this is what you and I are now, and then looking at, according to Scripture, where are you and I going to be? Where will we be? So essentially, we're going to take a look at the past, as well as the present, and then the future. And the goal of this really is to try to stick encouraging truth into our lives. Because if we wrestle with the old us, it's discouraging, and I'm sure you would agree with me on that. So it's to get encouraging truth into our lives, to get that discouraging truth out of our souls, and to live like the people that we really are in Christ. You tracking? Okay. This is somewhat serious, so I can see a lot of you have the serious look on your face, but it's going to be enjoyable, I can guarantee. The series is going to be based on this particular pamphlet, and I put a big example of that. For those that are here and closer in the front rows, you can see that this is the size of the pamphlet. So we've used things by Rose Publications before. They produce really good stuff. This is called Who I Am in Christ. At the very top, the subtitle says, Your True Identity. That's what we're trying to establish in this, is what is our true identity. And so I've said before, everyone who wants one, I haven't decided if it's going to be toward the beginning, maybe in the middle, toward the end. I don't know when I'm going to give these out. But no matter what your age is, as long as you're old enough to read, or if you're really on fire for the Lord and you can't even read yet, you can say, well, one day I will read and I want this. I'll even give it to you then. But we'll make sure that everybody who wants one can get a copy of this in the course of the series. The easiest way, I think, to maybe say what the pamphlet contains, to kind of say this is what's inside of it, is that inside they have a bunch of phrases that begin with the words I am and then sort of fill in the blank. So, for example, it'll be a phrase that says, I am forgiven. So we're probably going to take three or so of those expressions a week and then look at the scripture that is behind them. But what we want to do this morning as we introduce this series is to establish something that I think is very, very basic, and that is to say that indeed we have an identity in Christ. I don't know if that's a new idea to some of you, to say that I have an identity in Christ. I don't know if that's something that you've heard about or that maybe you've looked at yourself, but I'm guessing that for some, either it's a newer idea or it's something that you haven't really dug into today. So what we're going to do for today is we're just going to dive into some basic things that establish our identity, that say these are what are true about us. They're true of every believer, to say that everyone who is born again, every person who is a believer in Jesus Christ, has an identity that is in Him. They have an identity as a result of believing in Him, given us supernaturally by God. So we're going to look at three phrases, and very typically in your bulletin on the back, I give you a breakdown of kind of where we're going. I admit you don't have that this week, so for those of you who are the note takers, you'll just have to get these three phrases off the screen. And then you can take notes on that. So three phrases that show that we have an identity in Christ. And the first one is the phrase, baptized into Christ. Something that you may not realize is that the whole concept of baptism, I'm talking very broadly, very generally, the whole concept behind the idea of baptism in general is identification. So if you can get that idea down, it's going to make interpreting verses in the New Testament an awful lot easier. The general idea of baptism, when you see that word, is identification. So you could even put it this way. Baptism equals identification. And then you look at the context and you say, what is it that the person is being identified with? So in the Gospels, Jesus' relative John came baptizing. Mark chapter 1 said it was a baptism of what? Say it louder because you gave the right answer. Water. Repentance, okay? Yes, it was a baptism of water and it was a baptism of repentance. So, John's baptism is identification, personal identification with repentance. When people would come and they would have this done to them, they were identifying their life with repentance. 1 Corinthians 10, a lot of people get weirded out by these verses and they think this is hard to understand. It's not actually hard. 1 Corinthians 10, 1 and 2, Paul says, "For I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea." This is talking about leaving Egypt, right? Egypt with Israel. "And all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea." So this is not actually all that hard. This is to say that the Israelites were all baptized into Moses means that they were identified by God with Moses. He was their leader. As they went through that experience together with leaving Egypt, they were identified with him. So into Moses means identification with Moses. Maybe newer, maybe not. Everybody doing okay? Tracking so far? You with me? Okay. We get to then the idea of baptized into Christ. Here's what it says in Rome. Well, that's interesting. I thought that was going to be Romans 6. Just out of curiosity. Oh, I'm going to go to Romans 6. Actually, I have it printed out in my notes. That's how flustered I was. Romans 6, the apostle says to the new believers, oh, I see, I get it. It's the right words, but I didn't change the reference. Excuse me. Romans 6, and I'm going to find out what the verses are later. What shall we say then, says the apostle Paul? Are we to continue in sin that grace might increase? May it never be. How shall we who die to sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ have been baptized into his death. Okay, so he talks about being baptized into Christ and being baptized into death. That means that we are identified with Christ. So all believers are baptized into Christ. We are baptized into his death. We are identified with Christ. We are identified with his death. I'm going to share something with you just briefly that I shared with Kate and Tyler. They just got baptized at Broadford Lake a short time ago. Some people think that anytime you see the word baptized in the New Testament, it's talking about a water baptism. We know that's not the case because right there's the baptism of the Holy Spirit, for example. But just so that you know, when it comes to this idea of when is it talking about water baptism? When is it the spiritual baptism? It's actually pretty easy to see. The New Testament helps us on this. So the idea is when you see baptized in water, that's baptized in water. When you see baptized in the name of, baptized in the name of is a clue that's always talking about water. But when you see baptized into, that's the spiritual baptism. So for example, some people think that Romans 6 is talking about water baptism? No, because it says it's baptized into Christ, baptized into his death. Those aren't physical things that are, you're not literally dying in that moment. Baptized into Christ is talking about what we spiritually undergo. Let's hope it's the right one. Yes. Galatians 3, verses 26 and 27. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who are baptized into Christ Jesus have clothed yourselves with Christ. Coming from Galatians. So this is the first thing that we're talking about. Baptized into Christ is the first thing to show us that we have lives that are identified with Christ. The next one we're going to talk about is actually in that same verse, if you happen to notice at the end of it. It's the phrase clothed with Christ. Looking at that verse in Galatians 3, as I looked at different Bible versions, about half the Bibles have clothed with. The other half of the Bibles have you have put on. So whether you're saying it is put on or clothed with, it's the exact same thing. It's talking about an identification. So this is the idea. Back in Jesus' days of the apostles, it's actually true nowadays for a lot of ways too, people could be identified by the clothing that they wear. So we see this nowadays, as I thought about Jeff Bowman, and when he does welding, you better make sure that you have certain things that you have put on when you do that job. when we have Sotir or Patty and they go into the delivery room, or if they go to do their rounds at the hospital, they are dressed a certain way. When Mike Beck goes into the courthouse and he's serving at the courthouse, he is dressed, he's clothed a certain way. So this is a pretty easy idea, right? The idea is that when you're clothed a certain way, it indicates something about who you are. Let's look at this a bit of a different way. We know cases of where people have worked themselves up the ladder in a business and they have gone from a very simple start to high up in the company. So let's say that there's somebody who is part of the janitorial crew. They just did this because they have to make ends meet. And that was actually my case. After I got out of college with my bachelor's degree, I was first working with just a janitorial crew in a department store because I needed a job, and so you do it. But you dress a certain way when you know you're going to be doing that grungy work, when you have certain tools that you have to work with. So janitor, he starts working. People recognize this guy, this is not all biographical, that people recognize that he's sharp, that he can think well, so he gets promoted. And he continues moving up in this business until, lo and behold, years and years after he started, he's now the president. Would it make any sense for that person who's now the president to come in clothed looking like a janitor? Okay, just common sense. We know that that would not, because there are certain ways that presidents often dress too. So the idea is that the way you're clothed reveals who you are. Now the same is true for us. Many of us can think of ourselves as having gotten a promotion when we received Christ. Okay, we were promoted. And we'll talk about what you were starting next week to what you are, but you've been taken from one thing and put into another. And so it says that God has clothed us differently because we're now identified with Christ. So clothed with Christ is the second of our expressions. There it is again. Last one is Christ is our life. Last phrase we're going to look at after being baptized into Christ and clothed with Christ, last one is Christ is our life. Shouldn't be any surprise to any of you, if you're a believer, to hear that the Lord Jesus Christ, this is kind of summarizing the gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ gave his life on the cross as a sacrifice. Very things that we're going to be looking at when we celebrate the Lord's Supper. And this is a sacrifice for all who would receive that as a sacrifice that they need. When they receive that in faith, they get that change in their life. But he didn't stay dead. And so we say that it was with power that he rose again from the grave, and that he is not dead now. He lives forever. Amen? Okay, he lives forever. So believers, followers of Christ, share in his death. That sacrifice that he made, it ends up being our sacrifice. We share in his death, but we also share in his resurrection. So it's an amazing thing that we share in his resurrection as well. Here's what Paul says in Galatians 2:20. He says, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And we kind of wonder about that. Now these are great words, and we're going to kind of break them down in the future. And this verse has more great things to say, but this is what we're focusing on. The idea is that God the Father so identifies our lives with the lives of his Son that Paul can say that Christ's abiding presence in him spiritually is what is truly alive in him. So our physical lives are going to end one way or another. Some of us look forward to that. We look forward to being past the pain and the difficulty. The physical life will end, but Christ's life in us carries us into the life that is to come. And it's a great thing. Paul says something pretty similar in Colossians chapter 3. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Your life, it says, our life is Christ. He is the source of it. He's the sustainer of it. And so this was the final phrase that we had, that we truly have an identity that is based in Jesus Christ. Christ is our life. So these were the three. Baptized into Christ, clothed with Christ. Christ is our life. And I admit that it's going to take some work. It's going to take some work for us to stop believing lies that we have bought into for a long time, lies about ourselves. It's going to take a while before we replace those lies with truth. So my only exhortation to us this morning is don't be an identity thief. Don't try to steal back your old identity. Let's live according to the new identity that we really do have that is in Christ. Let's pray. Oh, Father, the burden on preachers to say things without being hypocrites, it's difficult, Father, because I know that just like my brothers and sisters here, I wrestle with fully embracing the new me that you have created, a new creature. And so I pray, Father God, that as we think about the amazing work over these course of weeks, the amazing work that you have done, as we accurately understand who we were before faith in Christ and who we are now and who we will be, that it'll just free us up to embrace those truths and to live as you want us to live. That's the place where Christ says that your life may be full, just a life that is full and joyful, the life that he really wants for us. Because we know, Lord, that that's most glorifying to you, most satisfying to us, most impacting to those around us. So do great things during this series, Father, to tell us about what our true identity is. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.